Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars. But mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey, Xander, what are we drinking?
Oh, what are we drinking?
Well, we're talking about drinking vessels.
Yeah, oh, today's our...
So this is called a brown bag.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with drinking from a brown bag.
But what I have... And some people may not be as familiar with the Growler's, much more attractive little sister, but...
A Growler.
We have a Growler here. So...
Shut up and pour.
Oh, and this is McMinimins, isn't it?
Yes, it is, actually. They have a Growler machine for their cider now down at the winery at McMinimins Edgefield. So you can pick the cider that you like, and they'll put it into a giant-ass 32-ounce can, which, as I like to refer to it, as Xander-sized.
Yeah, I've had many things out of Growlers. I gotta note, I'm not too into them, because there's just a bigger can you have to throw away. Some recycling centers don't often take them, so now you have this can that you can't use anymore. The novelty wears off pretty quickly for me.
I will say, though, that the most recyclable material is aluminum.
Yep.
So, more so than glass, more so than, way more so than paper, aluminum actually is cheaper to reuse aluminum and smelt it down to make new things out of it than any other product. Like, it actually costs more to mine new aluminum than it does to actually just reuse it, unlike pretty much everything else.
Good to know.
There's actually a number that started going around about a month ago that I have not been able to dig into the research, but 80% of all the aluminum that has ever been mined is still in use.
Speaking of things that are still in use, you're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon. As usual, I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
I'm about to take a sip. Oh, sorry, Dr. Xander, Gerrymander.
So as Xander mentioned at the beginning, today we are talking about drinking receptacles, bottles and cans, growlers and more, all the various ways and that you can imbibe liquor or booze, spirits through the history of the years. And we've got some interesting ones at our table here that we'll talk about in a bit. But guys, going to go totally off subject here because it's on my brain. I want to check in with you about some nerdy shit. I've been playing The Outer Worlds, and it is consuming me. Xander, you need to play this game. It is Fallout meets Firefly.
I have to go.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Bye.
Like, the first companion that you get is basically Kaylee.
What?
Yeah. Kaylee with the different name. But it's, yeah.
Oh, so she's Laylee?
Similar. Yeah. Yeah. It is Fallout meets Firefly. It is everything that I wanted from an Obsidian game.
Okay.
And it is surprisingly bug free.
Wait. Hold on. What you're telling me is that there was a video game manufacturer that decided to go and play test their game so well before release that it didn't require a year of patches to make it not suck?
That's what I'm saying.
Jacob, did any of what he said make any sense to you?
I am recalling a time of my youth.
Oh.
A day long ago when computer games were released with minimal to no bugs.
We called them game cartridges.
No. I remember there were these things called discs and these things called CDs that games came upon, and sometimes they had nearly no issues.
Are you suggesting that game makers used to have to go and put out a basically finished and great product because it came into a physical format and didn't have the ability to go and patch them, so they had to make them actually good to begin with?
Nay, sir.
What mythical times are these?
I will go one further. They would release such a thing, And it would be for free. It was called the Age of Doom.
Oh, and shareware. Yeah, shareware was a wonderful thing where you would essentially get a complete game that you couldn't play most of, unless you got a code. But most of them, yeah, you could hack it and play the whole game anyway.
I remember those. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
But since the entire way
better times
that they were ever going to get money was to put out a quality product that someone would send the money for, they had to put out good products.
So you'd actually want to buy it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's back when games would come out with like a couple mission free trial. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this is really good. Let me show you. Don't you want to pay to play the rest? To which most of the time the answer was, yeah, I kind of do. Yeah.
First one's free, you know?
As opposed to the, hey, you want to go and spend a $200 on a brand new special limited edition thing that's probably going to frustrate you for the first 6 months that you own it. And then I'm going to go and gouge you later to make sure you really want to own it because you've already so invested into it because you've paid half your rent on the fucking thing already. Yes? No.
Yes.
No.
There was a time.
Bad Xander. No.
There was a time when games came complete. And to me, Outer Worlds feels like a complete game. It's I'm almost done with it now. And I've been told that it kind of ends abruptly. But I'm okay with that because I have had like 60 hours of fun. Almost 55 hours of fun. And I'm almost finished with it. Now, some people say they finish it in like 20. I don't fucking get how you do that. I've been listening to every dialogue because the voice acting is amazing. I guess there are the people that are just click, 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 click through everything and don't read the story.
Why?
Yeah.
Because they're practicing for their eventual Twitch speed runs.
I just wonder why these people are playing this game personally. I'm like, the story is what the game is to me, but it's fantastic. Xander, you got to play it.
I'm going to. I got to get my computer set up at my new place. And then I got to get a little more money so I can go and buy a new game. But then I'm going to be invested in this because you have yet to steer me wrong with basically any medium of things you suggest to me. Every medium you've suggested to me, like, you've liked this movie, watch this. You like this game, play this. I've really yet to be stirred wrong.
Well, I'm going to give you one last incentive here because The Outer Worlds is made by Obsidian, who is now owned by Microsoft.
Okay.
And Microsoft has this thing called the Xbox Game Pass, which is a subscription service where you pay. You start for $1 the first month, and then there's $5 each additional month. And you download PC games and play them on your computer. And it's not a streaming thing. It's like you download the game, you play it, and you're done with it. Download another one or however many you want to. And The Outer Worlds is on there. Oh. So I'm playing it for $1 right now.
Oh,
legally.
Oh, wait. Oh, hold on. One more goddamn time. What you're telling me is that a streaming service decided to do something in a kind of reasonable and rational price structure that people can actually enjoy.
And it's Microsoft. year is it?
Hold on.
I think someone was drinking when they made that decision. I wonder what they were drinking out of.
Let's find out. No. Let's speculate.
Well, of course, you know, tumblers, glasses, shot glasses. Xander, Jacob, you're an ex-bartender. Xander, you're an actual bartender currently.
Yes.
What are the most common drinking receptacles at your place of employment?
Technically pint glasses, but that's just because we serve a lot of beer.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, the place I work at is a winery, distillery, brewery, and cidery. So because of the cider and the beers, it is mostly pint glasses that people are drinking out of because that's what we sell the most of. However, we have a decent cocktail program there. I'm not going to say it's the best. Sorry, work. That's why you're having me be in charge of your cocktail committee soon so I can make it better. You're welcome. But I would say probably the next most common, depending on whether it's a weekday or a weekend, will go between an old-fashioned glass or a shot glass.
Okay, tell me about an old-fashioned glass specifically. Is that not a tumbler? I don't actually know the difference between what you're holding up.
These would be considered old-fashioned glasses. These are kind of the traditional glass you would make, well, an old-fashioned in to begin with. They are usually between 8 and 10 ounces. They are kind of round and stout, not terribly tall.
Looks about 3 inches high, 3.5 maybe.
Yeah.
Three to four inches. Yeah.
So what you would drink out of a glass like this that Jake and I are drinking, the lovely lavender elixir cider.
Which, even though it tastes like lavender, I like it.
Oh, you don't like lavender?
I hate lavender.
Wow. Well, my bad. So like if you were to go ahead and just have like, you know, your average like rum and coke, or your, you know, vodka soda, you'd put in one of these types of glasses as well. Very common, most simple mix cocktail glasses or cocktails will go into a glass like this.
They're, one of the reasons they're very popular is they're very versatile. You can muddle in it. You can do drinks on the rocks. You can pour a shot into it. And it's a big enough container that's shaped easy to drink out of that it's easy for a bartender to manipulate. I can be setting up multiple rocks drinks simultaneously. I can pour accurately without splashing all over the place. It's easy to do clean pours in. You know, once you get familiar with your glassware, you can eyeball it real easy, which you can't always do with like coupes and other things. So when you're doing in the glass mixes, it's a little easy.
Now, what if it's the basic same size, but a little squared off?
Same thing.
Okay, so it has the same name. It's just...
Yep.
Yeah, there's artisan leaf shaped or something.
Yeah. Right. I mean, again, I'm sure you've seen pint glasses of many different shapes that all hold 16 ounces.
Yeah. Okay.
They're just a pint glass. As opposed to my personal favorite, looking at you, lovely moon and sixpence that pours imperial pints.
Oh, God bless the imperial pints. The only good thing the English ever gave us.
No kidding.
Also, there's a...
Stand by that. Fight me, England. You will lose again.
One of my favorite little cafes, the Side Door, which is around the corner from my father's place.
Yes.
On their happy hour, they do imperial pints for the price of regular pints. So it's pretty rad.
Also, in case you're flying inter out of port, an international airport, Laurelhurst Brewing has a location there in which they will sell you an imperial pint at a fucking airport for like $5.50 at an airport for one of their micro brews.
Yep. Well, this is here in Portland, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Portland Airport is well known for the fact that most of our shops and establishments don't price gouge.
They can't. It's mandated that they cannot do that, that's which is why it's fucking so rad. Fucking awesome to fly out of there. You don't have to get food ahead of time. Just go there and get drunk. It's great. Fun fact, airports are the only place in the state of Oregon in which you can start drinking at 5 a.m. legally at a bar.
Yep.
In which you can start drinking what?
Legally at 5 a.m.
Oh, at 5 a.m.
In a bar.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. No, I have had to for... I have had to, for business reasons, been in the Portland airport early in the morning because I was taking a commuter flight to Southern Oregon. And... There, the people lining up at 4:58 outside of the bars quite noticeable because they also have to get a commuter flight to Southern Oregon, and they're going to tie one on before they get on that plane.
Goddamn right we are.
Because you're flying into Medford, goddamn it.
Well, this is going to give me a good segue into another one of my favorite drinking receptacles, which is the mini bottle.
Oh,
and it's,
really?
It's only become my favorite since the TSA's ridiculous liquid flight restrictions, because now whenever I fly, I can go in with a quart bag full of mini bottles and they don't say anything. In fact, the last time I did it, I brought 3 full quart bags of mini bottles and the guy who was checking me said, "You brought one of those for me, right?" I'm like, "Only if you tell nobody else." And he laughed and sent me through.
So as your friendly former transportation security officer, used to work for the man at TSA for about a year and a half, don't get those bottles.
Why?
Oh, let me tell you. So the 100 milliliter bottles are 3.4 ounces. Mm-hmm. You can legally take 100 milliliter bottles onto an airplane. Now, I believe those mini bottles that you buy at a liquor store are 50 milliliter bottles, so half the size. So what you can do, again, legally, as far as TSA is concerned, is you can go and buy your own fifth of liquor at home, go and use a funnel, fill up your 3.4 ounce, 100 milliliter bottles in your quart size bags. You can fit 5 of those motherfuckers in a quart size bag, and I know this because I've done this.
Oh.
And so now you have almost an entire fifth of liquor in a quart size bag that you can legally take onto an airplane. Now,
I need some clarification on this, because my understanding was that they could not have been pre-opened containers.
TSA doesn't know what the fuck
they don't care. Oh, okay. That's why I was always getting mini bottles, because I'm like, oh, you can't bring a...
I saved all y'all a bunch of money. You're welcome. Here's the thing. as long as they're in that quart size bag, TSA doesn't care what's in it, as long as it's not more than, I think it's 140 proof, which is like, don't bring 151 on an airplane.
Aside Jacob. Hey,
so you just stepped all over my story, but go ahead.
Jacob feels personally attacked, and I don't care. So again, that's like over 15 ounces of liquor you can bring onto an airplane legally. Now, as a little asterisk there, it's not against TSA regulations to do this. It is against every single airline, as far as I know, their policy to allow you to open those bottles and drink them on their plane.
Yeah, now, I got called out on it once. Yeah.
And, that's why you don't bring a little bottle that says like fucking rum on it. And all you do is when someone walks by, who's like a drink? Yes, some Coke on the rocks would be lovely. Then you drink half of it and then pour your little like 3.4 ounce bottle of whiskey into it.
As I learned,
as the stewardess walks away, because then
I made the mistake once of just opening it up right there. So what she did is she saw me pull it out, and then she didn't see me pour it, but she thought I had done pouring it. So she grabbed my Coke, poured it out, and then poured me another Coke and said, "Sorry, you can't drink the booze," and then walked away. It's like, good thing I hadn't poured it in yet.
Because on my flight to Europe back in 2008, when I actually was working for TSA at the time, those motherfuckers play pranks on their own. Anyways, another story for another time. I took like 3 or 4 bottles of Sailor Jerry's and 2 of Rumpelmans of the 3.4 ounce bottles in my quart size bag. And my uncle and I got shit faced on rum and Coke the entire way there. And my idea was that if I can just pass out on the airplane when I wake up at 10 a.m. in Amsterdam, I'll have gotten like 7 hours of sleep and I'll be fine. No jet lag. No jet lag. Brilliant.
I would also point out that one of my favorite drinking receptacles, which is the modern version of the ancient skin bag, is, do you know the brand Tob? T-O-O-B?
No, but is it basically a camelback right? for booze?
No, it's not. They are travel containers for shampoo, toothpaste, et cetera, that were for a long time only sold in TSA compliant sizes, which meant that whenever Jacob traveled, in his carry-on was his toiletry bag that had 4 bottles in it of shampoo, conditioner, and toothpaste, and then something else that were bourbon, tequila, and whatever else I felt like.
Man's got to fly with a full bar.
So that's part of what makes it great, because they're all designed to be holding toiletries in them. They have spill-proof inner squeeze portals. Mm-hmm. So you flip the lid, you squeeze, and you can do measured shots to do mixed drinks on the go. There's a couple things that I would like to point out if you ever want to do this trick. One, if you do Bacardi 151 or other spiced rum,
which I'm going to say is illegal to fly with, continue.
Stains the containers and you'll never get the taste out of them. Also,
just trying to melt through.
That would be the next one, which is don't ever try it with Everclear, because Everclear will eat through the bottles on a long enough flight.
Also illegal. I just want to make sure listeners have legal advice in case they do try to do these things. Well, Biker's Dice and Bars said no, no, no.
To quote my friend Andrew Torres, don't take legal advice from a podcast.
Yeah, unless it's a podcast that's clearly legal advice from actual lawyers. You know.
In which case, they will also tell you to not take legal advice from a podcast.
Well, to be fair, I am a doctor. What else do we like drinking out of, guys?
Well, we could go into wine stuff, but I wanted to save that for when Poppy's here. She couldn't make this episode, but she is our wannabe wine snob, so maybe we'll come back around to that or a special
wine and wine vessel. Wine and wine vessels.
Yeah.
I would probably say, after the old-fashioned glass, the second most popular type of glassware in any given bar, especially on weekends, is going to be ye olde shot glass.
Oh, yeah. God. I am not a fan of shots anymore. I used to be when I was younger, but to me, shots are sipping drinks. That's how old I am now.
Well, again, it doesn't mean that they can't be. A shot glass is also called a rocks glass. And it doesn't mean that you have to go and just like down them in one fell swoop. Like when I go and I serve nice scotch out of my bar, I put them into a rocks or a shot glass. They're not shooting their, you know, Lagavulin 16. They're just there to sip on it for a bit in a smaller vessel. Because if you go and put a shot of scotch into a old fashioned glass, it looks like you like give them a couple drops.
Now hold on. I'm picturing something different when we say shot glass.
There's all different shapes.
I am picturing the tiny little double thumb size thing, you know, the kind of glasses that people collect at shitty tourist traps whenever they go to the Bahamas.
The true shot glass.
The true shot glass.
Yeah.
Now, so, yeah, I'm not, you can fit maybe a tiny ice cube.
To be honest, they're designed to be about 2 ounces, ounce and a half to 2 ounces.
And here's the really interesting thing, too, about glass, whether you're buying like a fifth of liquor or you're buying wine glasses or you're buying tumblers or pint glasses or whatever, you will be surprised what can fit into what. There are wine glasses that I've
seen. Tell me about it.
Sounds like a personal problem there.
Not a problem.
Let's talk after the show.
But I have seen wine glasses for sale that don't look that much larger than normal wine glasses that will fit an entire fucking bottle of wine in there.
Yep.
We have one upstairs.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, too, with certain shot glasses. Like, some are designed with, like, really thick glass bottoms to make them look like they're actually bigger because they're taller or wider or whatever. But, like, the thickness of the glass will actually make it so...
Also makes it's it like, so your drunk patrons don't break them as often.
They don't break them as often. And also, like, oh, I'm pouring you a full shot of, like, an ounce. But it looks like it's a big shot, and it's not. So they come in different shapes and sizes and volumes for those specific reasons.
Can I rant about one of my least favorite but growingly common glasses?
Is it Cheater Pints?
Oh, no. Well, okay, well, Cheater Pints. Cheater Pints, it, at some
point... Tell me more.
So we'll discuss Cheater Pints in a little bit. I don't want to go too deep on this one because eventually I want Xander and I to be able to do an episode of The Dirty Tricks of Bartending. And Cheater Pints are a way bars screw patrons all the time. But I will let you go with that because you're up on the latest. My information on Cheater Pints is a little out of date, but I can't imagine it's changed that much.
Is that similar to special stripper drinks? The non-alcoholic kinds?
No.
All right.
So Cheater Pints are basically pint glasses. They look like the normal pint glasses, but the glass, they're the size, the shape, everything. But the bottoms are explicitly thicker, and the walls are explicitly thicker, so they only fit like 12 ounces of beer instead of 16. So there are certain bars that will use these, partially for durability, I'm sure they would argue, but the main reason is so they can go and be like, well, I'm going to charge you a cheaper price for a pint. They can't.
And it's happy hour.
But then not actually give you a full pint of beer. But that's what they use all the time. Now, there was legislation back in the day in Oregon, which didn't pass because they don't care about the common folk, that was going to make it illegal to serve something that was a pint that was not an actual true pint. And it never passed because people don't care about the little folk in Salem. Fuck all y'all.
That said, folks at several municipalities throughout the state have looked at putting in local ordinances recognizing the honest pint as the only legal way. And under Oregon state law, municipalities are allowed to make that rule that as long as it's no more than the legal maximum for the type of alcohol, they can require how liquor is served up to that legal maximum. We could have in Portland the ability where the honest pint sticker indicates that a business has been proven to pour honest pints. It's been tried before. It should happen again.
And there are actual some dive bars, because it's usually dive bars. It's almost always dive bars that pour Cheater Pints. But
there's a couple that no names will be named, but I've busted a couple places in town where I've been paying $7 or more for a pint that was in a Cheater Pint came across the bar.
Oh, hell no. But again, that's why I say mostly. It is mostly dive bars. It is. But some dive bars, like Gil's Speakeasy, I'll give a good shout out to them. Some dive bars will go and make sure that they advertise on the front, we pour true pints.
Yep.
And our best whiskey is Jim Beam. That's a callback.
Just give me a double Tullamore Dew.
So we cut you off, Jacob. Yeah, you were about to talk about one of your least favorite drinking receptacles.
So one of my least favorite drinking receptacles that is becoming more and more popular in Portland, the fucking champagne fluid. Champagne cocktails are steadily on the way up. We're seeing more and more of them. And the thing...
I can't drink bubbly. It like gives me heartburn. So every time I go to a place and they're like, oh, all of our cocktails are champagne. I'm like, nope, I'm out.
That is half the reason.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Most champagne cocktails.
I'm odd man out. Continue.
Especially. Well, here's the thing. I like champagne cocktails. I hate champagne flutes for a couple of reasons. One, they're a bitch to work with behind the bar.
Okay. That is 100% true and fair.
Two. And here's a personal challenge for you, Xander.
Break all the goddamn time.
Yes, they do. That's why I hate them. Here's a personal challenge for you. So, a champagne coupe.
Yes.
Make a cocktail that you see served in a champagne flute in a champagne coupe and notice how it tastes different and most of the time tastes better with less heartburn.
Boy, you're getting a lot more aeration.
What is a champagne coupe?
It's like a round-bottomed martini glass.
So if you think of like the 1920s thing where the folks are walking around with the stemware, big flat-bottomed glass.
It's like a very small margarita glass.
Yeah, it's a very small.
Okay,
it's a coupe. That's a coupe.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They have a lot more kind of like, get a better nose to it just because the opening's that much larger. If you want to do any kind of nice, like a express citrus peel on top, it's going to come into your nose a lot easier that way.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
However, they do spill easier because of much wider opening. So there is that downfall to them, but they are way easier to wash.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because they fill the whole space on the rack as opposed to that skinny ass hot dog shaped champagne flute. I hate them too. Sorry. Yes. Sorry, Xander.
No, don't be. I mean,
Nothing makes my heart cry quite like watching someone try to figure out how to get the lemons peel that they stuck in the fucking champagne flute out of it so they can freaking wash the glass.
Good luck.
Okay, bringing this back to something you just mentioned, another glass, the martini glass. Why is a martini glass specifically shaped that way?
You know, I have heard over the course of my career five different stories that I can think of. One is that it's purely the easiest way to make that style glass. You can do a press wear rather than a blown wear glass. You can just press it over a mold. It's very cheap to do that way rather than anything rounded, which gets you have a higher crack rate. I've heard that theory. The other one is that martini glasses were not originally designed for martinis. I have no knowledge about the history of that. As anyone who makes more complicated drinks than the classic martini in there knows, having that little well in the bottom allows you to put denser liquids that get in the bottom. It's really a great place to put a well with a cherry with a lot of syrup in there. You know, there is something to be said, much like port glasses, which have no base at all, which are designed to hold the entire time and be warmed by body heat. The same thing is with a stem. You're holding it the entire time and warming it up. So if you, especially with a vermouth-based drink, warming it up, there's a difference in how vodka warms versus the vermouth component that is usually applied to the glass itself warms. It releases more aromatics. That's, you know.
And with the drinks that are specifically designed to be served up, and up for listeners out there, means with no ice in it. Like, you stir it over ice, and then you pour it into a glass with no ice. You need something that has a stem on it in order to keep the drink cold longer. Otherwise, your hands are going to warm them up.
Right.
So usually when you make something like a martini or a Manhattan, which goes into like your classic quote-unquote martini glass, what you usually do before you even make that drink is you go and you put ice into the martini glass itself. You put water in there to like really, really make that glass nice and cold. Because unlike most other cocktails where ice is going to keep that drink cold, there's no ice in this glass. So you want to make sure you get that glass nice and cold. You don't want to have your hand on the glass because it's going to warm up the drink. So then you dump the ice and water out of it after you've made the drink and then pour that into a nice, like, chilled glass. And so the stem on that glass is also going to go and prevent it from warming up. So you can kind of sip on it longer, because these are very booze heavy drinks traditionally when you're going to be serving them up into a martini glass. And also, I mean, let's be honest, half of it's just beautiful aesthetics. It's a very eloquent looking glass.
The one thing I will say is that martini glasses, because of their shape, allow gin, which is what Xander and I agree is the preferred liquor for a martini most of the time.
98%?
No, you go 98%. I'm not quite there, but yeah.
Okay, 98.2.
The big opening tapering down to the tight bottom allows for a great release of aromatics, but not giving everything away. And so over the course of the drink, the aromatics of the gin continue to be available and come to your nose and enjoy.
I would agree with that.
Excellent. Well, speaking of other things at the bars, Steins, tankards?
Collins
glasses.
What's a Collins glass?
So those are the tall, narrow glasses. They usually are soda-based drinks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With or without ice, but, you know, they're
frequently some, with a straw or a... Yeah. Umbrella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're really designed to show off soda-based drinks more than anything.
Yeah. They're basically the champagne flutes of non-champagne cocktails.
Okay.
They're tall, skinny. The bubbles kind of cup at the nose. They're nice. They're fine. They're a pain to stack.
Yeah.
In a bar. The one nice thing about things like a martini glass is that they usually have these metal racks on the top of a bar. You can kind of slide that like flat base onto, so they can just kind of hang there, like the base of a wine glass, which gets them up and out of the way. You're not going to break them at any point in time because they're just hanging there.
Yeah, it's very nice.
So those are also why we kind of like martini glasses, is that they are that kind of, again, elegant shape without the hassle of having to break them as frequently. But there's a few things we're missing, like tulip glasses and shit like that.
Yeah, there's tulips. Yeah. There's trident glasses.
Yeah,
all very specialty.
Yeah, the rest of them are really specialty.
Ooh, where, Moscow mules.
Moscow. Well, the copper mug.
Copper mug. So most bars worth their salt that they're actually selling copper mugs will go and take your credit card and like pre-charge it like $30, because those things walk out the door a lot.
A lot.
They're expensive glasses. They're like. You can buy pint glasses for dirt fucking cheap. You break a pint glass, like, yeah, fuck you, but who cares? But when a copper mug walks out the door, that's like $30.
Yeah.
Damn.
They're not cheap.
But now, one thing I like to put out there is copper mugs were at one time in the U.S. kind of a bar standard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, glassware used to be expensive as hell.
It's fragile.
And copper wasn't. And there was a time in the U.S. where if you walked into a bar and you didn't get a ceramic Stein mug, you were getting a copper mug, especially for liquor. And I really encourage people to invest in their own copper mug and start making some of their favorite cocktails in a copper mug and see how that affects the taste.
I encourage pewter goblets. Yes. Skip the copper. Go right down to pewter. Old school style.
Yeah, leaded pewter. We highly endorse brain
damage.
Drink
like you're at medieval times. Speaking of which,
let's go old school. I am passing around and will be taking a shot of this. My personal drinking horn.
Okay, why do you have a drinking horn?
Why do I have a drinking horn? Well,
have you met Jacob?
I have. I want his explanation.
I come from the land of the ice and snow.
I hate you.
No, but yes, go ahead. I own a drinking horn because I come from go right ahead. That is okay. That is acceptable for Xander right now is pouring the cider into that. So, I own a drinking horn for several reasons. A lot of it has to do with cultural legacy that's held dear by my family. Drinking horns are actually transcultural. Any culture that had cows or antelope with big enough horns usually ended up using the horns as drinking vessels. They're just convenient as hell.
And also, but that comes from a time where you want to use as much of the animal as you can.
Right.
In fact, sometimes exactly. Turning its bladder into a drinking receptacle.
Yes. Or the vessel that you actually ferment and then drink out of, yep. Which is still done in Africa and Asia and is stunningly effective.
I just want to say, too, this is really nice to hold in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
It gives a nice nose because I have to go and put it right up to my face when I drink out of this. It's very pleasant. It tastes like heritage, which I also appreciate.
Yes.
So I'm getting more of those notes from the cider now.
However, drinking horns have a couple interesting things to them. They're very transcultural, like I said. However, they do take on the properties of what you drink out of them. And to that end, if you ever decide to invest and own a drinking horn, you have to understand that you're kind of best served by committing to specific drinks out of that. That horn only has cider or mead in it. Cider or mead have similar chemical properties, and the tastes that are held within the horn material, because it will no matter how well you wash it, it will hold taste. To that end, one of the earliest cultures that started using horns for complex drinking vessels was the Georgians. Not the United States. No. We are talking about the former Soviet Socialist Republic, Georgians.
In the USSR.
Who is potentially, at this point, the oldest known winemaking culture in the world. And they have horns that they dedicate to specific styles of grape.
I am so into that.
Nice.
It's like the Belgians and their crazy glasses for their beer.
Exactly. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah. So if people don't use natural, wood or horns, I suppose, for any kind of cooking or drinking purposes, they hold flavors. That's why people go and use bourbon barrels to go and either age beer or Irish whiskey in or what have you. Mm-hmm. And that's because those things do hold those flavors. So as Jacob is saying, any kind of natural product is going to hold a bit of what was in there previously, which you should keep in mind.
This gives me an interesting opportunity for a segue in an unexpected way, because something else that holds flavors that you probably don't want it to is the growler.
Oh, the growler.
Because so if you're not familiar with a growler, it's basically a fucking jug that you go somewhere and get filled up and then you cap and take it home. It's a way of having draft beer brought to your house.
Kind of.
But the problem is people frequently fail to clean their growlers. And occasionally you'll open a growler. Oh, yeah. What's it? Oh, God. And the odors that and come
mold.
Out of it.
There's so much mold.
Yeah. Clean your growlers. Growlers became super popular about a decade ago.
Yeah.
I think all of a sudden growler filled places were popping up everywhere. Not just here in Portland, because whenever I would go back to Atlanta or Alabama and visit friends and family, there'd just be growler places everywhere. And they seem to have mostly kind of faded out. A lot of mom and pop establishments might do growlers. I know McMenamin's has a fantastic growler deal every Monday, $10 growlers.
It's weird.
$7 off whatever growler you're buying because it'd be of different tiers. But it's cheap. Nice. It's cheap.
It's weird. There a lot of there was the relegalization that happened, 5 years ago?
Of growlers?
Well, it was when growlers were suddenly made easier to growlers fill operations were suddenly made easier to happen in the state.
Oh, yes. No, there was some loosening of regulations, which is why they started popping up in your local Safeway for some reason.
Because, my corner store does growler fills now.
Yeah. And it was a weird thing for them because they were always locked up and no one ever manned the station. So it was way more convenient to just go and buy a 6-pack than to wait the 10 minutes to have someone go and unlock the damn thing to go and get a growler fill. But they have them there sometimes.
Well, but also, they're not always the best deal.
Right.
Like if you Measure out how much you're actually filling the growler with, and then judge it against how much that beer costs from the bottle or from the can. You're frequently going to be paying more unless you're going to a place that offers like a special, such as the McMinimans one.
I'm going to go on a rant here for a second.
Please rant on.
Jacob, hold my horn. So, a six-pack of beer contains 72 ounces of beer. Frequently, almost always, a six-pack of beer is going to be cheaper than getting a growler fill, which is 64 ounces traditionally. Now, why on earth a brewery or a store or whatever is going to charge you fucking more money to buy a to use a reusable product when they have to go and buy glass and print out labels and print out a cardboard or plastic six-pack holder when they can just go and like give you a cheaper, better deal to use a reusable thing is fucking beyond me.
Yeah.
The only reason to ever do that, I need the horn back. The only reason to ever do that is if it's a beer that does not come in a bottle form. If it's only available on draft, maybe that's the reason. As NPC is saying, frequently, I know Hollywood Liquor has frequently really good deals on...
I have a Hollywood beverage growler right there.
For that reason, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They frequently have really good deals on buying growlers. However, like, otherwise, like, it's just bullshit. Like, you're gouging somebody for a trendy container, and I fucking hate it.
Yeah, no, and here there are places where it makes sense. Some of them are the big boys, the McMinimans, the Deschutes, where they make it worth your while to fill a growler. Some of them are the small little places. I want to do a shout out to one of my favorite drinking holes, Sessionable, over on Division. It's a great place. It's one of the few places that serves true price 10 ouncers, which is beer is normally sold there, like a lot of places, in 20 ounces and 10 ounces. Or for stronger beer, it's in smaller proportions. But, you know, you can get the smaller size or you can get the larger size. But if you go into a lot of places, if you get the smaller size, it's not 50% of the larger size.
No, it's fucking not.
Sessionable. You
goddamn monsters.
Sessionable, it's 50% of the larger size. Also, if you get a growler fill there or one of their cans there, which they will load your can, which is a tall boy, with the beer of your choice, it is at a discount.
I will also give a shout out, as I just went to Hood River, to Full Sail Brewing, because they have their vintage, like 2014, 2015 bourbon barrel aged Imperial Stouts. And if you want the, you can get the 10 ounce version or the 5 ounce version. And the 5 ounce version is 50% less than the 10 ounce version, like it fucking should be. So thank you, Full Sail, for not being a bunch of dicks.
Now, I do want to give a bit of technical advice on growlers here. First off, definitely clean them.
Invest in a bottle brush. Yeah.
But second is that if you get the option to get a growler, if you're buying growlers and you see the screw top growler next to the like the clasp on suction cup top growler, you go for that one. Because the screw top growers suck balls.
Yes.
If they fall over, they leak because those caps are terrible no matter where you get them.
Yep.
However, the clasp top, the clip down ones, they are so, so handy.
Yep.
And they will preserve your carbonation for a little bit longer. Yeah. And it's a better product overall. Now,
opening a flat growler is awful.
And that's the other downfall of a growler, which is why I kind of had a little bit of hesitation when you said it's like bringing draft beer home. It's like bringing draft beer home for like a day and a half.
Which is why I'm a fan of the grenade.
I'll ask you about that in a second. However, I will say I haven't kickstarted a lot of things in my life. One of the things I did was the U-keg.
Mm.
The U-keg was the solution to my damn beer's flat. Because normally, if you buy a growler, you have a day, maybe two, to finish that thing. And if you're not a professional alcoholic such as myself, that might be challenging for you at home. So, U-keg was like, don't worry. You don't have to hold the beer. I got you. And they decided to go and make a like double vacuum sealed industrial metal growler complete with a CO2 cartridge that you could go and screw on top. So...
that sounds like very Tim the Toolman Taylor kind of thing there.
So this thing not only would keep your beer cold in the sun for up to 8 hours in exposed sunlight, which, God bless. Also, if you just wanted to go and take it in your fridge and pour yourself a glass over the next couple of days from that, good. It's carbonated because it has the CO2 cartridge attached to it. And if you were like me, the ultimate in Lushes, you got yourself the 1 gallon version, 128 ounces.
Ooh.
And the really fun thing about that one, boys and girls at home, is not only did it hold 8 pints in it, but if you took it to a place like Safeway that doesn't know what the fuck they're doing with growlers,
you're a genius.
I would take it there and they go, huh, this is taking an awful long time to fill. And I would go, huh, funny that. And then they would just charge me for the growler price and I would go, thanks, I have to go now. And it was basically a way to go and make a growler cost, you know, $7.50 instead of $15, which is what it should fucking cost. So in a way, I was like, yeah, I'm getting what it should cost. Thanks, guys.
Similar technology to the growler, but in much smaller format, is everybody's favorite, the flask.
The flask. You mean a hydro flask, right?
Well, that can work too, but I'm talking classic.
I'm a big fan of the modern hydro flask.
Well, like I was saying, like a Camelback. Yes. Just fill it with whiskey and go for a jug.
Don't do that. The plastic they use in Camelback will leak. Yeah. They will leak real fast. I have done that. You are consigning that Camelback to a one-use thing. If you want that, that's great. Like, if you were doing what I was doing that day, which I was going and tubing the river, filling up the Camelback with multiple bottles of hard liquor and having this thing that could float and we could pass around and get totally schnockered while tubing, it was wonderful. I will never be able to use that Camelback for anything because it sprung a leak the next time I tried to fill it.
See, that's a situation where you probably should have taken a flask.
Now, gentlemen, we all own flasks here.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple flasks.
Multiple flasks. What is your preferred ounces in your flask?
I'm sorry. I don't know. I just like flask-sized.
I have different flasks that I deploy for different reasons. I have my dress flasks, which are the classic ones. They are designed to fit inside the coat pocket and curve to the body.
Yeah, I was going to say the ones that have that curve, so you can't really tell from the outside.
Right. I mean, and those range a lot depending on thickness of the metal. I have a Four Roses one that is made out of the cheapest sheet metal you've ever seen, which can hold a ton of cheap bourbon in it. And
only cheap bourbon. If you put in anything else, it just rejects it outright.
And then I have, I mean, the lid flies off, the liquor crawls out going, what are you trying to do to me, sir?
I am worth more than this.
I have my beautifully impressed Celtic Knotwork one, which you can use as a self-defense weapon because you can beat a man to death with it. But only holds like maybe 6 ounces tops, mm-hmm. You know, so, and then I have a couple that are flasks.
You own those pint size ones, don't you?
Pint?
Oh God. That look right there was a little turned on and slightly concerned for your liver.
My liver is concerned for my liver. My kidneys think I have a hostage situation with my liver. But no, I it all depends on circumstance.
Yeah.
I was just mentioning, I'm a big proponent of using hydro flasks to carry liquor around in, especially on hot summer days. That you can mix beautiful cocktails that you pre-chill in the refrigerator, pour them into a vacuum-lined hydro flask, and then can be sipping on a chilled beverage all day long.
And flasks, as Jacob was already saying, are very, very portable and frequently shaped to be concealed in a way. As some of our listeners know, I used to be a drag queen, mm-hmm. and I would very frequently hide flasks underneath my fake boobs, mm-hmm. and step in, just pull it out, slide it back in, and people would give me the weirdest looks, and usually followed by a thumbs up. Like that, buddy. Yeah.
Interpants holster for the gun, pocket flask for the chest.
Yeah.
That just makes sense. So I have several fun flasks. One my lovely sister got for me when she was in the Czech Republic, where she got a custom...
The Czechs do awesome flasks. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's an 8-ounce flask, and she got me a custom leather holster for it. It's a nice curved one. On the front is just a rib cage of a skeleton, and on the back it just says, "Two brother, love sister." And it's one of my favorite things that I own. My good friend, giving a shout out to Chris Kangas, who used to own Alternate Universe. Great, great nerd store. He got me a flask that had a goddamn window in it.
That's cool.
It was so convenient. Because when it got close to being empty, I'm like, oh, I can't see the liquor anymore. I'm almost done. Just a nice little visual representation of that, which I also, I always very much enjoyed. But yeah, I mean, it's, okay.
I think I've given you a flask, and I'm pretty sure it had Tom Waits on it.
I think I would have remembered that.
I know I gave you a flask, and I can't remember. I bought it from, of all places, Hollywood Beverage Store one day. They have these this rack of, you know, cheap flasks that people have put custom stickers on. Yeah, and I saw one, and it was like, Xander. And I bought it, and I gave it to you, and now I can't remember what was on it. I'm pretty sure it was Tom Waits.
I know if I had a Tom Waits flask at any point in my life, I would have remembered no matter how fucking drunk I was. So I know it wasn't Tom. I was just going to give a quick little shout out to proper bar etiquette in regards to flasks. I think that is important.
Oh wait, real quick. I want to mention the one flasks. I've had several flasks, but there's only one that I specifically remember because of how awful it was. It was a flask that your typical, whatever, metal flask. And the back of it clipped open and was a cigarette holder.
Oh, which, those.
If you look at it, you're like, this is cool. It was
that
sweet.
Seems great, but really what's great. Wrong with it?
No, you want some soggy ass cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
Because you open the flask, you take a sip, maybe a drop comes out, maybe whatever, maybe you don't like close it far enough or whatever. Your cigarettes are slowly just going to start getting soaked by alcohol.
No, that doesn't sound
you don't
good.
Want, especially because I only had cloves in there. So I had like bourbon soaked cloves. It does not taste good.
Really?
No. Yeah.
Huh.
Sorry, Xander, I interrupted.
No, you're fine. So, again, Jacob and I are and have been bartenders before. I'm going to start off with the most rookie drinking mistake I ever made when I was a
young, I will match you on this one.
When I was a young touring musician with the Vagabond Opera.
Oh, you must have gotten so much trouble.
I had a flask with me, and we had drink tickets. And I'm like, I've had enough to drink here. I don't want to drink anymore here. I just want to have whiskey to go. So when I get back to our hotel, I'll have some whiskey. So I went up to the bartender and I said, "Hey, Mr. Bartender, I got two more drink tickets. Can you just pour these directly into my flask?" And he just like stared at me like, he was just like, "What?" I'm like, "No, I just want shots. I just want them put in my flask so I can get out of here." And he's like, "Dude, first off, put that fucking flask away."
Yeah.
Good thing you're with the fucking band. Second, right. No.
So, pro tip, this does depend what state you're in, but yes. There are states where you can walk into a bar that's licensed for quote-unquote off-sale with your quote-unquote sealable container, and they can fill it and send you out the door. To my knowledge, nowhere on the West Coast is that one of the states.
Most states are not like that, by the way, boys and girls.
If you're in Louisiana, though...
And I don't think it's the whole state either. I think it's just the city and probably just that one area.
So, again, don't do that. I understand. I'm a poor person, and I know that drinking from a flask in a bar is cheaper for me than going and buying drinks. I get that. You're ruining my livelihood. However, I understand this. Don't do it where I can see it.
Please.
Please buy a drink first and then go and sip that and then go to the bathroom. Not in the middle of a fucking dance floor.
Yep.
Not on my bar top.
Yep.
Not on the table right in front of me.
Yep.
Go somewhere where I can't see you and then open up your flask and refill your drink. That's fine. If it's a busy night, I won't care. But don't do it where I can see you. I do this all the time. I'm guilty of this too. I get it. But there's an etiquette and a proper way to do this.
Yes.
Do it that way.
And I'm gonna piggyback off on this real quick, and I'll be real short. In Portland, people carrying around their own water bottles is a big thing. Realize that the moment you walk through a bar, keep that thing out of sight and ask for a glass of water or go to the water station to get your water. Don't open that. We have to kick you out.
Or confiscate it.
Yep.
And then when I confiscate it, it's going down the goddamn drain.
Right.
So what, my fellow co-hosts, is the strangest thing that you have ever imbibed liquor from?
I know what mine is, but
go for it.
Sheep stomach.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a sheep stomach, and it was a mixture of milk, blood, and fermented honey.
Okay. Xander?
You know, I feel like I should have a weird one, and I don't think that I really do.
I've got one. Iron Man's dick. It's at a party.
Somebody was dressed as Iron Man.
And he had a booze. It was like a jungle juice bladder inside an Iron Man prosthetic dick. And we were all drinking out of it. He would just whip it out and we would drink jungle juice out of his giant iron cock. It was amazing.
I mean, I've had really good alcohol out of penis-shaped decanters. I even had really good alcohol that was poured out of a penis-shaped decanter that sat in a rest that looked like the vulva. Hanging out with pro-sex people can sometimes get a little weird.
So, what you just mentioned reminded me of a thing my father used to have. He might still have it somewhere, I'm not sure. But are you familiar with the pissing boy of Brussels?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Nathaniel's just staring at me. It's a famous statue in Brussels of like a small child that's like pissing. It's a fountain.
Okay, yeah.
And my dad had a like pump decanter of this thing. God. And so you would just take shots out of it and you would just like hit the pump and the little boy would like piss into your mouth.
See, that's fantastic. Yeah.
I'm going to go bring up a picture of the thing.
No, I can picture the Belgian boy.
Nope. There you go, buddy.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I was picturing.
That's some weird Epstein-level drinking habits.
There's right actually there. Pissing statues
not
is
a girl,
common
dude.
Thing across
not a girl.
The world. Yeah.
Point taken.
Well, I want to close this out. We've talked about a lot of receptacles, and there's infinitely more that we have not talked about.
Oh, yes. We did not even talk about classic test tube shots.
Or mason jars.
Real quick.
Or fucking beer bottles.
Yes, beer bottles.
On this subject, so I went to Annie's Saloon, which is, to my knowledge, the only strip club on the Oregon coast, at least the northern Oregon coast, in Astoria.
Yeah. Yep. I think so.
And I went there with my girlfriend back in August when I took the Dahlia out to Astoria. And I ordered jello shots at this strip club because I had to order jello shots. They were $5 a piece. And I got, I was about to be like, hold on, until she went and slabbed down two bovine sized plastic syringes.
I was just about to say that one. I've had the same thing. You just plunge it into your mouth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had those at Dave & Buster's once.
Yeah, they had. Yeah. I mean, these things were like larger than the size of a dollar bill.
Yeah.
Yep.
They were the strongest jello shots I've ever had in my entire life.
They're basically champagne flute sized.
But plastic.
Yeah.
Complete with little plastic tips on the end.
Easy to wash.
But I want to close this out with praise for one of my personal favorite things that I've probably drank more booze out of than anything else, and that is the red Solo cup.
The blue Solo cup,
but usually red.
Red Solo cup.
You know what? Better red than dead.
Yeah. So, Jacob, you were saying that there's some fun lore with the red Solo cups.
It is not 100% true. It's predicated on a meme that was going on around a long time ago.
Yes.
But it actually is close enough to work. If you look at a red Solo cup, there's molding marks into it. There's one that makes it a flat base. There's a couple that throughout it that are the rings. If you actually take a measuring a cup and fill it with water and test it, the mold line where the flat vertical base suddenly changes into the fluted sides actually is about 2 ounces. And then there's a mark that's roughly 12 ounces, and then to the rim is 16 ounces. So you can actually have measuring devices right there. And it's close enough where, for Red Solo cup work, it's good enough.
Nice. I have been, it is the standard party cup, you know, like it, you can, Jesus Christ, you can probably get like a case of them for $5. They're just... They're ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. They are so ubiquitous that thank you, Toby Keith, for that song about Red Solo cups.
Actually, no. We don't thank Toby Keith for it because after Toby Keith released that song, they raised their prices on Red Solo cups.
Fuck you, Toby.
Okay. Drinking receptacles. What do we think of the brown paper bag?
I love the brown paper bag.
Well, I mean, I want an actual can of something in the paper bag because...
Oh, you don't just pour the liquid into the bag?
Unless it's like, well, okay, I have drank...
How do you take your Jello shots, sir?
I have drank bag wine out of a brown paper bag.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was still a lining of a sort.
So one of my favorite tricks that my girlfriend just taught me, because I don't usually drink this type of stuff... is to go and buy one of those like effervescent, you know, like health waters that's like pink or yellow or whatever the fuck colors they are.
Yes, yes.
You know, drink one of those and then open up your can of Mike's Harder Lemonade of whatever flavor that's going to match the color of that drink's actually supposed to be.
I really like your girlfriend already. girlfriend is my people.
And then just go and stroll down the street with this thing that looks like what it's actually supposed to be, but it's, you know, that instead.
Ask her what...
Sorry, Mike's Harder. I'm sorry, I got that wrong.
Ask her how she feels about doing the same thing with vodka and Mio water flavoring.
What water flavoring?
Mio water flavoring.
I just have her drink some Malort out of that. And, might as well just go for the 1-2 punch there.
Yeah, just fuck it. Yeah. Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Well, this has been educational for me. There's a lot of these that I didn't actually know that much about. It's at least the naming schemes behind... you said that was a Manhattan glass?
Old-fashioned
glass, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't know that.
So, Nathaniel, overall, your favorite thing, bar none, to drink out of is?
Favorite thing to drink out of? Mm. Ooh, God. I would probably just say a glass, just tall glass, a pint glass.
Pint glass?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Jacob?
I mean, a pint glass is versatile. You can drink cocktails out of it. You can drink beer out of it. You can do whatever. It's probably shouldn't drink a wine out of it, but most anything you can just...
That definitely was not me 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
So I'm going to... For me, it's 3 things. Whiskey out of pint glasses. And
so you just pour most of your bottle into there and then be like, what?
Yes. I don't
why
understand
do we not
question
drink together more often. Why is it just every other week when we do this, Jacob? I thought we were friends.
And then I feel after that, ceramic coffee cups and mason jars.
Mason jars are solid. We forgot mason jars. Oh, I forgot mason jars.
Oh, I forgot a milk jug. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
You just make a thing in there and shake it up.
Especially glass milk jugs. Oh, yes.
God damn it, that reminded me. I'm sorry, I have one more.
You can add dry ice to carbonate it if it's in the glass one.
So, when I was on my honeymoon with my now ex-wife, we went to Puerto Rico, and she couldn't eat anything because she's vegetarian and went to Puerto Rico. But we found this Mexican restaurant where they had some vegetarian options for her. And they kept trying to sell us on this like half gallon milk jug of margarita. And we're like, we can't finish this here. Like I'm not going to buy this giant jug.
You're in Puerto Rico. You take it with you.
I live in Oregon. I don't know this shit. I'm from California. I don't know this shit.
Mi hermana explained this to me.
Yeah. So the guy's like, no. In Puerto Rico, as long as it's not glass, you can just, I'll just seal it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And go back to the beach with it. And we're like, well, then, yeah, we're fucking getting a half gallon of margarita.
Give us 2 of them.
So, yeah, we got this like 64 ounce jug of margarita. And one of the garnishes, for some fucking reason, was a maraschino cherry. It was weird. But it was like top with like, you know, what the fuck was it topped with? Like Grand Gala or like, it was a nice liquor in it. And so we just, but then by the time we got to the second beach, because it's 85 and sunny, it wasn't cold. So we were just like swigging warm margarita out of this thing. We just beach hopped back that down to Old San Juan. And I just thought, God bless Puerto Rico. God bless.
Nice. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and close this out. We've been talking for a while about all of the wonderful ways to drink our favorite beverages. I'm hoping you found this, dear listener, as educational as I did. Any last words, guys?
My favorite drinking receptacle is the skull of my enemies.
I do have a couple of the vodka skulls upstairs. We poured our wedding cocktails out of them. Yes. Yeah.
And vodka is my enemy.
Well, they've been emptied and many other liquids have gone through those.
No, skulls. That's what I'm saying, though. The skull of my enemy. Oh, my enemy is vodka. No. Therefore, I will drink out of a vodka skull.
Yeah, I'm not firing on all cylinders, apparently.
Whereas I'm just going to say we talked a lot about how different glasses can affect the properties of drinks. However, there's no wrong way to drink alcohol. If all you got is a ceramic coffee cup.
Unless you're driving, that's an incorrect way to drink alcohol.
Yeah. If all you got is a ceramic coffee cup and you really want a Manhattan, make a Manhattan in your ceramic coffee cup.
I am not above that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't advise doing it at a board meeting of a job that you want to keep, you know. There's many reasons to not do that. Ultimately, what I'm getting at is there's many ways to drink booze. Just do it responsibly. I feel like we don't say that enough. We say that on every episode, at least at the end, but enjoy your booze and your boobs responsibly.
Also, when you put booze on your boobs, that's also a great way to drink alcohol.
It's not a very responsible way, but it is pretty fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. You've been listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon.
Home of the crotch shot.
Again, you can find us online, on Discord, on Facebook. Please join us and strike up a conversation with us. We're there, and we love to hear from you.
Please find us on the gram.
Yep. Yeah. Find us at our growing Patreon community.
Yep. Yeah. Help us pay some of the bills and buy some of these delicious drinks to fill all of these wonderful receptacles in front of us.
Come tell us what your favorite receptacle is.
That sounds weird, but I'm going to keep it. So anyway, as usual, I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
I'm just an asshole. Sorry. The Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
And as usual.
Shiny side up.
The love of God, always tip your bartender.
Always roll those crits, and definitely, as I said before, always drink responsibly.
And don't break your fucking bar glasses.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars.